It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, it is Taz and the Moose with you here on this Monday morning on CBS Sports Radio as we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Home is so much more than a house. It's the home of your dreams. And for 30 years, they've been making it better. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. Mike, Pete, across the way. Andrew, your updates. We take you for another hour right up until 9 a.m. Eastern time, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227.
Your attention, number hotline fans.
Thank you, Mean Gene. Here we go. Kick off that third hour. Here we go, the three.
It is now time for the three. We get you caught up on the three biggest headlines of the day with Taz and the Moose, number one.
49ers blow out Packers on Sunday Night Football.
They certainly do. A message to the rest of the NFC and the National Football League. Here we are, the San Francisco 49ers. I mean, that was the clearest statement of all in Week 12, Taz. The 37-8 destruction Sunday night game on NBC. Game was pretty much over, you know, at halftime with that game being a 23-0 whitewashing. There was nothing to watch in the second half. You could have went to Betty Buyer and go watch something else.
Right.
That game, you know, there was no way the Green Bay Packers are going to pull off a miracle and come back in that one. The 49ers dominate the point of attack. They were able to, you know, establish some sort of a run. Garoppolo played well. The return of George Kittle at tight end. There's nothing not to like about the San Francisco 49ers. Their only loss was that unbelievable game against the Seahawks this season.
That Kittle, man, we were talking about him earlier. Kittle is probably, George Kittle, the best tight end in the game. And he came back off injury with a vengeance last night in that 37-8 victory over the Pack. You know, if you're looking for a really good game, a good NFC battle that night on Sunday, which I thought we were going to get, that didn't happen. That because Aaron Rodgers and the rest of his offensive friends were just completely suffocated by that 49ers defense. Those guys were just all over him. Nick Bosa everywhere. DJ Jones, Buckner, Armstead. These guys were all over the place, all over Rodgers. Couldn't do nothing. And the turnovers and stuff. So the Niners offense took advantage of that. Garoppolo played good. The running game, everything, man. There's a lot to like about this Niners team right now.
There is. You're exactly right. Here's Jimmy Garoppolo, their quarterback, after the win.
Defense got fast start. We got the touchdown right away, and then we kind of just, we were in a little bit of a lull, it seemed like, and I just thought Ever needed a little, get the juice going type of thing, and so just kind of brought everyone up, you know, and, I think it did us well.
What says you, Kyle Shanahan?
We're very well aware of how tight of a race it is, but it's way too early to sit there and focus on it. The way things are going, I'm sure that'll be the last week that really is worth knowing what's out there. But there's a lot of football to play and a lot of games and a lot of good teams out there.
Well, there is, and they destroyed one of them last night, 37-8. Here's LaFleur and Rodgers for the Packers side of things after the loss.
Got to give the 49ers a ton of credit. That's a pretty darn good football team. Disappointed in... with myself, with how we got out-coached and we got out-played, bottom line. And it's unacceptable, and we got to look at ourselves, and there's a lot to correct if we want to be the team that we want to be.
You know, you watch the game, right? And you watch the Packers at any time. It's just a problem I have with Aaron Rodgers, I got to be honest. For his greatness and all his success and all his years as an experienced, legitimate, you know, he's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer, I would assume. His frustration, and no one likes to lose, or when they are losing, that's obvious, every player. But I don't know, maybe I'm overreading this, Moose, but I'd love your take on this, but I feel like Rodgers sells with his face when he's frustrated with his teammates. I feel like...
I think you're probably right about that.
I don't know about you, man, but it just feels like... I'm not a psychoanalyst. Like, yeah. It's everybody else but him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's how it feels, though. Maybe because stuff he said in the past that he has
maybe,
said, you know.
Maybe about the rookie receiver. I mean, throwing his teammates on the bus. I mean, maybe. I think you could sense the frustration on his face. I don't disagree with you there. I don't know if I can make the leap saying it's all about him or it's all about his teammates or it's a combination there of both. Here is Rodgers after the loss.
I think every loss is a test, but I think we have the leadership in this locker room. It kind of surfaced there in some post-game remarks by some of the guys. I'm not going to get into who said what, but definitely encouraging hearing some of those voices. I feel good about our culture.
Well, I mean, seriously, I mean, I'm sure he does. And you know, one game doesn't decide a year. It doesn't mean that if these two teams meet up in the postseason, the game's going to go exactly the way that it did last night. But for one night, on a Sunday night in November, I mean, the 49ers were just downright dominant. And here's what you like about San Francisco, about why their game does play and does travel. They're not doing with smoke and mirrors. It's not about deception. This is not about, you know, some kind of offense that's kind of taken hold of the National Football League. What it is old-style football. Defense, win at the point of attack, establish the run, throw off the run, make use of the tight end. I mean, it's really, you know, kind of reinventing the wheel here. It's going back 30, 40 years of what really made great football teams, and that's the way the 49ers are playing right now.
Yeah, and it's and you hit on it. And for those that don't know, when you hear someone say point of attack, I'm not trying to be condescending. That's in the trenches. That's on the line of scrimmage between the offensive line and the defensive line. When the ball snapped, the guys that have their hand in the dirt in a three-point stance or four-point stance defensively, that's point of attack.
Yep.
So that's what that means for those that don't know. But they made a statement, and that's more or less what you alluded to. The Niners did, and you're right, man. I mean, 37-8, ass-kicking Jones, I mean, for sure. And Garoppolo, you know, he wasn't hurried much. He was sacked, I think, two or three times, probably three times last night. It was nowhere near the amount of pressure where Rodgers, he was sacked five times. And he's not as athletic as Garoppolo. You know, but he couldn't get out of his own way. His guys weren't getting open quick enough. Sometimes his O-line just couldn't deal with that defense, as you're saying, point of attack, that defensive front of the Niners. Man, they brought it and brought it hard. The only game in town, you know, Sunday Night Jones, right? You're at the grand stage right there. What you're competing against is a little wrestling show called Survivor Series.
Yep.
For those wrestling fans, they will watch the Survivor Series, not this game. But, you know, I was going back and forth to both. But anyway, yeah, it was definitely a statement win for the 49ers. Now, they sit a very cozy 10-1 in that NFC, so they're looking pretty good.
They are. All right, next.
Number two.
Jerry Jones critical of coaching staff after loss to New England.
Right. Let's hear from Jerry Jones, the Cowboys owner, after a loss up there in Foxborough yesterday, 13-9 to the Pats.
I want to see us coordinate our defense, offense, and special teams. But I want to see a winning game out of all of those guys acting a little bit in coordination and unison. I don't think there's a game that a coaching staff has areas that it couldn't do better in. And I don't like it that we've got so many as I'm standing here tonight.
It's really not a ringing endorsement for Jason Garrett, as there was a report earlier in the day that if the Giants decided to move on from Pat Shurmur after this season, that Jason Garrett, former backup quarterback with the Giants, might be the apple of their eye to replace Pat Shurmur in New York. In comes this scenario yesterday where, you know, you look at Jason Garrett, the special teams, you know, not playing the windy conditions. There was one point in time where, you know, they have the return man Pollard back at the goal line when the ball's landing at the 10-12 yard line, Taz, and he's running up and the ball ends up popping free. They end up recovering the fumble. Remember, after 10 yards, it's a live ball and a kickoff for everyone out there.
Yep.
You know, then you have the scenario down 13-6, late drive, great catch by Randall Cobb down the left sideline to put him into facing a 4th-and-7. At the Cowboys' 11-yard line, they decide to kick the field goal. Aikman on Fox basically saying to go for it. At that stage, I agree with Aikman. I would have went for the tie there instead of kicking the field goal and making a 13-9 game.
Yeah. No, I agree, too, with Aikman. I agree with you, too. You know, I got to say, though, I mean, I don't know. I feel like Elliott, I mean, he had a good day. He didn't have a great day. Zeke Elliott, he had 86 yards, you know, 21 attempts, you know, no touchdown running. I understand how awesome this defense is by Belichick, and these guys are just always in the right spot. They're so prepared, and they just all do their job individually, which is why they're so damn good defensively. It's frustrating watching them, but they really, if 86 yards when you watch this game for Zeke Elliott, for the Cowboys, it didn't feel like he ran 86 yards. You know what I mean? That's a decent amount of yards. You know, if a running back gets 100 yards in the game or more, it's a good day. Good day. 86 yards is not a bad day, but it was not an impressive 86 yards, if that makes sense. Do you agree?
No, I don't disagree with you.
They kept them quiet, kind of.
They did enough on the ground.
Right.
And, you know, maybe this game's a little bit different. Maybe there's some more points scored, Taz, if it's not playing in the conditions that they're playing in. Nasty rain, heavy wind throughout the course of the game. But they run for 109 yards as a team. The Patriots run for over 100 yards on the ground. You know, Prescott, I don't think was great throwing the football. He finally went to the glove on his throwing hand because he was really struggling early on in the game trying to get.
It
worked because early on he was throwing some flutter footballs up in the air because he was having a hard time gripping the football.
Yeah,
dealing with all the rain. It's another game in which he sensed the frustration from Jerry Jones, you know, just like the Saint game and others this year, the Packer game at home, that if a couple of things went their way, the Cowboys would end up a win. I mean, he's not wrong saying that this is too good of a roster to be looking at this team being 0-4 against winning teams and 6-5 on the year.
No, I agree with Jimmy, with Jones, for sure. I mean, with Jerry Jones, I should say. But, you know, that tripping penalty was that hurt. Okay, I've said this a million times. I don't ever feel like a game should come down to one play or a guy making a kick or a bad coaching decision. In a perfect world, you put yourself in a position not to be in that position.
Yeah.
But that's not the way the game goes. That tripping penalty was catastrophic for the Dallas Cowboys on Martin. Okay, that was on Hightower. The penalty was on Martin. I mean, that was not...
Bad call.
It was just a bad call at a bad time, and a reaction to what the ref saw late, not the initial part. The guy, Hightower, lost his footing. That's what happened. But I agree on you know, the stuff on the coach game of the kick you or not kicking. But the thing is, too, the weather, right? Everybody's talking about the weather during the game, after the game, middle of the game. I'm watching the, the halftime show. On Fox, I guess it was, right? Yeah, because that's where Gronk's working with Fox, right? So they have Gronk there on the panel with all those guys, Howie Long and those guys, and Kurt Menefee and whoever else is there. Dude, he's acting like they're the only team in the league, meaning the Patriots, that Coach Belichick's, Joe Belichick made us practice in the rain and the snow, and you got to be on time. And he acted like they're the only team that does that in professional football.
Right.
I was like, dude, stop. You're waving the Patriot flag. I understand he's got a dog in the fight. He's friends with them all. But, and he looked weirder this week than he did last week. I think he lost more weight. He looks strange in the suit.
I didn't see it.
Dude, he looks like he's wired. Like his eyes are all bulgy. And
It's Gronk being Gronk, no?
And he has other guys working with him just laughing in his face. Terry Bradshaw's like, we're breaking you in.
I think he's there to be kind of like the yuckster.
What's that?
Like kind of be the bringer on the joke.
Like a goof.
Yeah.
Was it goofball or goof?
Goof.
Remember you made a comment once on the show?
Yeah, goofball.
Goofball.
Yeah.
Yeah, goofball. So there's always got to be a goofball on set, right? On a show?
No, not always. No, not always. But I think he's there to play that role. Be kind of goofy.
Class clown.
Yeah.
All right.
I think that's... I did not watch what you saw yesterday, so I didn't see it. But
you should go look for it, the halftime shows. Just watch them.
Yeah, I don't really... It doesn't... That does nothing for me, the halftime shows.
I know.
Menefee, the cool walkouts and everything like that, it doesn't really do much
for me. I don't want to act like I'm locked in with a bowl of popcorn. Oh, here we go.
Yeah.
I'm not. I just catch it as I'm grazing by.
I got you.
You know?
I did not see it, but it doesn't surprise me, Gronk talking up the Pats. He loves the Pats.
Oh, God. It was like, in the rain,
maybe
he'll
return next year.
All the stuff. And like... Guys are looking at him on the set like, dude, okay, it's football.
I'm sure they wanted him back this year.
I mean, yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure they did.
Yeah.
But if you're on a team that's, you know, maybe, okay, you're in Texas, you're the Cowboys or Texans, or maybe you're in California. Yeah, you don't have the cold and the wind. But you get rain. I mean,
yes.
You're getting rain. I mean,
you do.
Football teams. Newsflash, the New England Patriots aren't the only team who practices in the elements. I just want people to know that.
I gotcha.
I just thought that's important moves for people to know. That's what I'm saying to you.
So Pat sensitive. Amazing. All right, next.
Number 3.
Mason Rudolph benched for poor play, denies using slur.
Here is Mason Rudolph. They lose, win, I should say, yesterday. Beat the Bengals, come back. Rudolph gets taken out of the game at halftime. Here's Tomlin on that decision.
Made a quarterback change in the second half there. Just felt like our offense needed a spark. Mason wasn't doing enough. Duck came in and provided us with a spark, made a couple plays. We'll see what next week holds next week.
Oh, my God. Over an eardrum.
That here is Rudolph on the story earlier in the week that Myles Garrett, in appealing his indefinite suspension by the National Football League, said that the reason why he swung the helmet at Mason Rudolph is that Mason Rudolph called him a racial slur. Here is Rudolph yesterday after the game.
Totally untrue. And, you know, I couldn't believe it. And I couldn't believe that, you know, he would, you know, go that route after the fact. But it is what it is. I think I moved on. And one day it was tough, but moved on. We're good now. We're good to go now.
Just to be clear, is there any room for interpretation? You said something that might have, you know, some other...
Absolutely not. I did not. There was nothing, not even close.
So there you have it. And the National Football League, mind you, did an investigation. They talked to guys on the field. They listened to all the guys that were mics on the field as well. Talked to everybody involved. Nobody heard Mason Rudolph use a racial slur. So that's where we're at with that. And you know, he's in. You feel, you know. Listen, it's an Myles Garrett says that for Mason Rudolph. I mean, you're in an awful situation there, where you're being painted something that you know, in all likelihood, you did not do. And that's the unfortunate thing in this. Where when that investigation comes out and Garrett saying basically he did not intend that for it to become public, he wanted that to be private. I mean, listen, it's a complete utter mess. But Rudolph denies it. His teammates backed him up. The Browns are backing up Myles Garrett. That is a complete and utter disaster. And then you get to the scenario of the game yesterday. We'll see exactly what the Steelers do here moving forward. I'll be honest with you. I think Delvin Hodges is probably going to be the starting quarterback next week for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Surprising, right?
I think he probably will be. I mean, Rudolph didn't play well.
Last week you were saying it wouldn't happen.
I didn't think it would happen.
Yeah.
I don't think Rudolph's the... I said last week I didn't think Rudolph was the quarterback of the future of the Steelers.
Right. No, I agree.
Yeah. But I don't think... he played very, very poorly against what is a bad Bengal team. So there you have it. Your top three storylines here on this Monday morning. It's Taz and the Moose with you. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. On this Monday, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, two and more and brought to you by the Home Depot. Visit HomeDepot.com for details on flooring, appliances, and bathroom home improvements. The Home Depot, more saving, more doing. A player that is doing more for his team. How about Sam Darnold? The Jets quarterback threw for 315 yards and two touchdowns as Gangrene pounded the Raiders 34-3 in East Rutherford. We'll get to a little college football. It was an interesting Saturday, the demise of the Ducks. We'll get to that here momentarily. Bogus is in the house. What's up, Andrew?
Hello, Moose.
Hello.
Hello, Taz.
Good morning.
Today's report, this report, is brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. You can save 50% on car insurance by going to geico.com. The Niners wasted little time imposing their will on the Packers on Sunday Night Football.
Rodgers leaning in, bent over, awaiting that shotgun snap, points to his right, stomps his foot, gets the snap, five-man rush, now six-man rush, Rodgers is in trouble, Rodgers eludes the rush for a moment, but he's down, Fred Warner finally got him, the ball pops out, it's scooped up by the Niners, and down at the two-yard line.
That's Kevin Kugler on Westwood One, Nick Bosa the recovery, Tevin Coleman the two-yard touchdown run. San Francisco led in less than 2 minutes last night. They sacked Rodgers four more times while holding his offense under 200 yards.
We got to improve on offense and set the tone a little bit better than we did. Obviously, I fumbled on the first drive. That didn't help. Gave him seven, and we just didn't get any going, obviously.
Rodgers mercifully pulled from the game in the fourth. Niners QB Jimmy Garoppolo with long TD passes to Deebo Samuel and George Kittle. Their team is 10-1, keeping its one-game lead on the Saints for home field in the NFC. The Patriots also 10-1 after holding off the Cowboys 13-9 in rain and wind at Foxborough. Dallas has not beaten a team with a winning record this season. Seattle 6-0 on the road after a 17-9 win in Philly. Eagles QB Carson Wentz undergoing further testing today on his injured right hand. X-rays yesterday negative. The Bills are 8-3 after smothering the Broncos 23. And as Moose just mentioned, the Raiders took it on the chin at the Jets 34-3. Their head coach, John Gruden.
We dropped passes. Hell, we dropped four center quarterback exchanges in the second half. We missed tackles. We missed field goals. We missed an opportunity to show our fans that came out today what kind of football team we are.
Now, those Raider fans were loud pregame, which apparently angered the Jets. Safety Jamal Adams said they went back in the locker room after warmups. Everyone yelled and screamed, and they came out and they kicked butt. Tonight, it's the Rams hosting the Ravens. Five-game winning streaks for the Clippers and the Nuggets. L.A. put down New Orleans at Staples, 134-109. Kawhi Leonard at 26. And Denver beat Phoenix, 116-104. It's a three-game run from Mikey B's Nets, 103-101 winners at the Knicks. Second-ranked Louisville put down Akron, 82-76. Number 9, Kentucky handled Lamar, 81-56. And number 14, Arizona ran away from Long Beach State, 104-67. The Atlanta Braves have signed veteran catcher Travis d'Arnaud, 2 years, $16 million. Rafael Nadal led Spain over Canada to win the Davis Cup final. Undefeated North Dakota State is the number one overall seed in the 2014 FCS playoff bracket. Austin Peay and Sacramento State dancing for the very first time. And yes, the Winnipeg Blue Bombers handled the Hamilton Tiger Cats 33-12 to win their first Grey Cup since 1990.
You're welcome.
A long drought in Winnipeg.
Wow, I thought it was 89, actually. But I,
the 89 season, 90 Grey
Cup. Why don't you be honest? No. Why don't you be honest? Be different than everybody else in these parts here. 90
Grey Cup.
Be honest, okay? You were not going to shout out the Grey Cup.
No, I completely forgot about the Grey Cup. I noticed it yesterday. That'll be good to mention tomorrow morning, and then completely forgot this morning to find out who won.
Got it.
So thank you for
I inspire.
Revving up my memory.
I inspire.
You do. Thank you for inspiring
me. And I'm a motivator. Let's be honest.
Right.
Everybody knows.
A mentor.
I'm a mentor, motivator type guy.
Goon Jones.
I just said I'm a motivator. Mikey B made a face like he smelled cheese. Like, I don't know what he said. He made a face like, eh. Like that type of face. Like, eh. Like, I don't know if you're a motivator. But I am a motivator, and I am a mentor.
I am motivated currently.
That's what I do.
Learn about the Grey Cup.
Because, you know, you got to come. You got to bring your A game. You got to know your Canadian football here. That's how it works.
It's my fault.
So that's it. So 1990, yeah.
1990.
So that's a big deal right
Remember
there.
That?
Yeah.
Yeah, the great Tom Burgess was the offensive MVP.
Really?
1990. Yeah.
You remember that, huh? You
got no, some memory. I looked it up. Warren Hudson, Lee Hall, Greg Battle.
Wow.
Trevor Kennard.
Oh, I know. Nope.
No. 1990.
Yeah,
I might have 1990. Been working in Japan in 1990. What were you guys doing in 1990?
Pete, where was Taz in 1990, Pete?
I think Japan.
I think I was working in New Japan. That. Yeah.
Pete, were you six in 1990?
I was five.
Five.
Where were you in 1990, Moose? Roughly.
I was getting ready to go to Don Bosco Prep.
Nice. Getting ready to go to high school.
Yeah. I was 14 years old. I was in eighth grade.
All right. Yeah. So, Andrew, that means you were probably going in fifth grade.
That is correct. that is correct.
There you go. Very nice.
Yeah. So, and I'm in Tokyo at Roppongi drinking Kirin beer, pounding them down,
nice.
Packing a lip.
Mikey B., what were you delivering in 1990?
Something to my diaper.
You guys act like 1990 was so long ago. Jeez, I guess.
I mean, it was.
I guess for you guys it is.
I'm just happy I remember it.
It's 30 years ago. It's a long time.
30 years ago. It is a long time, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like that's long ago. That's all right. I had a great cup. The old good
times.
Job,
Bogish.
Thanks, Moose.
Well done.
Thanks, Tez.
Well done.
Have a great Monday.
Hey, we'll see you tomorrow, right?
Probably.
Yeah.
Saturday, not a good day for the Oregon Ducks. Is they fall to Herm Edwards, Marvin Lewis, and the in Arizona State, I should say, the Sun Devils of Arizona State on Saturday night. ABC game. Herbert in playing quarterback for the Ducks. The much ballyhooed quarterback prospect for the National Football League. And, you know, that is a devastating loss for Oregon.
Mm.
They did rally to make it a game, to make it at one point in time 24-21. I mean, but they looked lifeless for large stretches of this game. They're down 13-7. you know, Oregon, Arizona State that obviously jumps out there to a two-score lead, Taz, early on in that fourth quarter before you start to get a little bit of a rally from Oregon to make it a 24-21 game. Then Arizona State scores to make it 31-21. Then Oregon scored 31-28. It took a while for that Herbert offense to light, finally catch a fire for Oregon on Saturday night, and really too late. And now they drop precipitously in the polls, and their chances of making it to the national semifinals are pretty much over.
Yeah, I like Arizona State because I'm a big Herm Edwards guy. You know, and I love that freshman quarterback, Jaden Daniels. By the way, that they lost to a freshman quarterback, by the way. So it was excellent. It was 22 or 32 in the game, over 400 yards with three TDs. Listen, and Herbert, you know, for himself, forget about the team for one second. You know, it was tough in the fourth quarter, dude. You throw two interceptions, man, that's a tough look. You know, that's a tough look. But I think Herm Edwards deserves a lot of credit and his staff because they had – the Sun Devils primed him ready. I mean, the play action was the key to this thing here for that freshman quarterback, Daniels, because that was just – they were sucking into the play action so fast and leaving their receivers. They have a lot of speed, Sun Devils do, with those wide receivers.
They do.
And good gosh, they were burning up on those play action passes. And I think Herm Edwards, being a former D-back himself, picked up on that right away, and they gave him a steady diet of that play action. But, yeah, as far as an overview – now the Ducks sit 9-2, and you're right. They're probably out of that playoff pitch. I mean, we were both hoping they would end up in that playoff deal.
Yeah,
so was I. Yeah,
I was hoping
something different. You know, it'd be nice.
That pretty much ends. I think now, if you're rooting for something a little bit different, you're rooting for Utah. You're not
right. Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, I agree.
Utah
I completely agree.
Had their way, and they won easily over the weekend. They won 35-7 going away.
Yeah,
in a dominant performance over the Arizona Wildcats.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, Utah's a high octane. They're sitting 10-1, seventh in the country right now. You know, they were dominant in this game. I mean, they had 28 first downs where Arizona, you know, only had 11. I mean, they just were dominant in the game completely in every facet of the game. Even penalties. They had more penalties. But don't matter. Arizona was overmatched here. But, yeah, you gotta hope and see. Now, what happens when these rankings come out, the new rankings, what happens here? So in that seventh spot, do the Utes move up? You know, that's going to be interesting
to
see.
I think they're going to move up, no?
How much, though? That's the thing. They move up one?
Yeah, I mean,
spot?
Yeah, maybe, yeah. I mean, but still, they move
bad,
up
though,
nonetheless,
right?
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I think obviously, you know, Penn State getting handed their second loss.
Right,
Ohio
right.
State takes care of business, second-ranked team in the land, 28-17, where Chase Young makes his return, you know, cut-off jersey, showing off those six-pack abs and everything and the like, and making a, you know, immediate impact on that game. You know, Ohio State wasn't all that kind of impressive, though, but it was a win nonetheless. I thought Fields played pretty well. Dobbins running it. Here's the problem with Ohio State. They got to play a cleaner game. They can't turn the football over. Penn State was able to get back into that game on Saturday, Taz, based on the doings of Ohio State or the undoing of Ohio State and turning the football over.
I quasi-agree. I mean, right after halftime, that did happen, to your point. Penn State came out of rolling, and they put 17 points up in that third quarter. But fourth quarter, the Buckeyes' defense figured it out. And they shut him out in that fourth quarter, and that's the key, right? So, and that helped lead to that 28-17 victory. I thought the Buckeyes looked legitimately really good, and I think Penn State's a real good program. That's a pretty impressive win. I know you're home in Columbus, Horseshoe Jones, 100 million people. I got it, but still, you beat a legitimate opponent there in the Nittany Lions who came into that game at 8.
And my point being is it's a 21-7 game. Ohio State fumbles the football. Penn State touchdown. Ohio State then gets the football back. Fumble. Penn State field goal. What was 21-7, all of a sudden 21-17 as the Buckeyes turn the football over deep in their own end on a couple of occasions, which led to 10 points for the Nittany Lions. Yeah, I'm not saying take anything away from the Buckeyes.
No, I know you're not.
I don't think they were great, though. I mean, I think their opponent, obviously, is better than some of the other teams faced. I think the Oregon loss was a devastating loss.
There's no doubt. No, I agree with you.
They cannot be losing that game on the road against Arizona State.
Let me get your opinion. All right. So, as you know, Baylor beat Texas 24-10.
They did.
So, Baylor sits 10-1 now. What's a better win, like a more quality win? Would you say that Baylor victory over the Longhorns, over the Buckeyes, or the Buckeye victory over the Nittany Lions?
Oh, I think Buckeyes over Penn State.
The better win. Yeah, I'm with you.
You're with me, right, on that?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Yeah, I thought Texas looked okay in the game, but then
they looked slow in certain spots.
In certain spots in the second half, they looked.
Yeah, they.
I don't know if
looked,
the bell just picked it up. I don't know what happened.
I like Texas to keep that game close. Baylor, Texas. I've been disappointed in the Longhorns this year. I kind of liked them going into the season. They look slow and not athletic in certain spots.
I'll tell you, man. You weren't here Friday. And we talked about this a little bit. That Michigan victory, 39-14 over Indiana. Indiana went to this thing 7-3. Indiana, a good team, and Michigan beat the dog you know what out of them, dude. That was a good win for the Wolverines. They needed that kind of win. That's a good win right there. That's a good win. Unlike Alabama, who's sitting there they're beating Western Carolina. They beat
Mac Jones 10 of 12,
66-3.
66-3, 10 of 12 for 275 yards and 3 touchdowns.
I mean, dude, like. I mean, this is what I mean about Alabama, dude. Like, right. It's like they're not, they don't, I hate to say it. I know, you know.
No, they're not beating anybody.
They don't play any all year, no. Dude. Like, I mean, not just about almost every week.
I think the selection committee with that first CFP, you know, where Clemson was on the outside looking in, I think they woke up a team a little bit.
Yeah.
But because they've been steamrolling teams right now.
I mean, the way that they play now.
I understand. Listen, Clemson's not playing Penn State. I get it. And the ACC's not particularly good and particularly deep this year. But they are absolutely destroying teams.
Who are you talking about, Clemson?
Yes.
Yeah. No argument. Yeah, I feel like they're legitimate. Clemson's definitely legitimate. LSU, in my opinion, is legitimate. The Buckeyes are legitimate. You know, it's just that fourth spot. Is it Georgia? Is it?
Well, let me ask you this. Instead of saying, like, who do you think deserve it? Who do you think will give us the best semifinals? Right? I mean, I think it's LSU. I think it's Ohio State. I think it's Clemson, right?
Word. I agree.
All three of those deserve. You can put them in any order you want to put them in, but all three of those. Which other team do you think would give us the, you know, I get deserve plays a role, but which team do you think would give us one of the better national semifinals?
Man,
who do you think is going to give us Utah?
I'd like to see Georgia? Utah, but I think it's Georgia. I think it's going to be. I mean, they're 10-1. They beat Texas A&M in a close game. Okay, 19-13. And Texas A&M played hard in this game, but yeah, they're 10-1, and you're beating Texas A&M. I understand, but it's better than beating Western Carolina. So I don't feel that fourth team should be Alabama. I'd like to see it be Utah, but I would lean more towards Georgia. They came in this all week. They've been in that fourth spot anyway. You go through the list.
I probably agree with you.
Yeah.
I don't think it's Alabama. I don't think their defense is good enough.
It's not Oregon now, obviously.
Right. It's not Oregon now.
Oklahoma? Nah.
The problem with Oklahoma, I think maybe Oklahoma's a little bit closer to Utah. The problem is I don't trust that Oklahoma defense.
Right.
Earlier on in the year, I thought they were a lot better than what they are now.
Dude, you're right. They played TCU.
They regressed.
They barely beat TCU.
Yeah.
I mean, 28-24, they beat TCU. TCU came into the game 5-5, and not exactly like, you know. Yeah, no.
And Lamb is so important to that Oklahoma offense.
That's a big thing. You're right. And this game, they were home. Oklahoma was home for this game.
I know, 28-24.
Yeah, I mean, I would have thought. I don't remember what the line was on it, but I would think it was more than a few points, especially with Oklahoma being home. Yeah, I don't think that.
It would be intriguing, though, if Jalen Hurts could get Oklahoma there and knock off get Alabama out.
Oh, that'd be just, how about that?
That'd be funny.
History, being part of the Crimson Tide. Wisconsin? No, it's not Wisconsin.
I think it's those three. I think it's Georgia.
Georgia.
Yeah, Georgia, Utah, and Oklahoma.
Oklahoma.
And then you got to throw Alabama, obviously, is in the mix, but I don't look at them as being a top four team in the country.
I'm not with the. We're not missing the one on this, right? No, I don't think so. I mean, Minnesota.
Throw Baylor in there.
No, you could throw Baylor. Minnesota. You know, they won again. They won. They beat Northwestern, who's really bad. They beat them 38-22. You could say Minnesota. Well, yeah. I don't know.
Baylor's going to look at that collapse against Oklahoma.
Right.
Proved to be their demise. I mean, that was a game that you cannot lose.
Yeah. No, you can't.
At home. You're up by more than three score. You got to win that football game.
Yeah, you do. You do. By the way, that kid, I mentioned him. You weren't here Friday. I mentioned him Friday. Bateman, Rashad Bateman, wide receiver from Minnesota.
Oh, good player.
Oh, my God. That guy's so good, dude.
He is a good player.
Really good.
It's Taz with the Moose. We've come back. We got the undercard for you. The stories we missed here on this Monday morning. CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on your car insurance. Time right now to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Today's question is from John up there in Maine, Taz. Will my Rams slow down Lamar Jackson and pull out a win tonight against the Ravens?
No.
I would agree. I'd go Baltimore as well. They've been so impressive as of late.
I just think they have, the Ravens just have so much momentum right now. The Rams, you know, they have not looked. I know
they've not looked great.
They're not. I know
no,
the game's out in L.A.
Explosive.
I know that. But yeah, just yeah, man. It's just something.
A little revenge game today for Marcus Peters as well.
Yeah, good point. Very good
point. Going back
yes.
and playing for the Rams. They yes. decide to move on and bring in Jalen Ramsey, who they're going to have to sign to a long-term deal at one of the cornerback spots there, Taz. So, you know, interesting when you look at the game and the matchup is when you look at how good Lamar Jackson has been here. You know, what exactly is going to slow Lamar Jackson and the Ravens down? I mean, if it's not, you know, it's...
Not Aaron Rams, Donald, who is it, right?
Well, yeah, well, the Rams' defense has actually been good.
It's good. No,
I mean, they've been playing well. Mm-hmm. That's not been the issue. It's been the offense. Goff has really struggled.
That's right. You got two good running backs in this game, too. Well, a couple. You can throw Lamar Jackson there as a running back, too, but because at times, you know, he'll lead the team in rushing. But Ingram on one side of the ball for the Ravens, and then, of course, Gurley on the other side there for you know, for the Rams. Should be a good game, though. Should be good.
I'm looking forward to it. I love that atmosphere, though, too.
Yeah.
Coliseum
yeah.
in Los Angeles.
Yeah, it's great.
That's a cool, you know, Pasadena,
yeah.
LA Coliseum. Oh, those
yeah.
are cool atmospheres to watch a football
game. No, it's cool. Yeah, do you think? I'll tell you what's cool after you've done.
Don't forget,
that.
You can submit a question by going to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Can guarantee low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day.
What's cool is that Survivor Series was yesterday for WWE last night, and yeah. NXT TakeOver was in Chicago on Saturday. And I will drop a podcast later today, the Taz Show, covering and reacting to these two massive shows WWE had.
How were they?
You have to listen to the podcast.
No. I'm not gonna go for a blow by blow, match by match. But I'm just asking, how were they on the whole?
I thought the NXT TakeOver show was excellent. They usually are really good shows. I thought some people hated Survivor Series or hated on it. I liked it. I thought it was a good show. I liked a lot of the stuff they did on the show. But I'll get into more detail.
They no longer
on the
do the teams in Survivor Series.
No,
they
do.
They do.
Oh,
that's
teams,
awesome.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, and it was more of a. They did more of a team feel, as it was NXT versus Raw versus SmackDown.
Oh, that's
so,
cool.
And they kept score throughout the night. NXT ended up winning, though. So believe it or not, they had NXT.
That's nice.
Yeah, they did the right thing. They had NXT. You know. Win the whole gamut.
Now, I asked you, is it usually before? I mean, Bilotti's our, you know.
He's not our expert. You're about to say that, too.
No. I'm
saying, the expert.
No, you're the expert, but I'm talking about the historian.
Oh, yeah.
He's the historian.
Well, I'm a student of the game. I'm not really a historian, but
well,
okay.
And you often go back to Bilotti to ask about when matches took place in your career.
Okay. That's a good point.
So I was just... I was going to lean on him for a second.
The guy knows every single thing about
my
career.
Survivor Series, did it sometimes take place after Thanksgiving?
Are you asking me or Pete?
Bilotti. I asked Bilotti.
It started taking place on Thanksgiving, and then it moved to Thanksgiving Eve, and then it moved to before.
Oh, so it used to be on Thanksgiving
yeah,
night.
Yeah, that's when The Undertaker debuted. That was one of those,
that was
right?
Thanksgiving
yeah.
night. Okay.
Yeah, I guess I'm a historian, too, I guess. Yeah, I guess
so
I know a little bit about wrestling, too.
So it used to be on
the
Thursday
too,
night
Moose.
Of Thanksgiving? Yeah. Oh, no, you
I guess I know something about wrestling, huh, Moose? Okay, got it.
So what are you being like this for?
What did I do wrong?
What are you being catty?
I'm not catty. I'm never catty.
You
I'm
often
always
go
nice.
To Bilotti all the time for basically asking when you met Pork Chop Jones.
It's cash. It's different when I ex Bilotti than when someone else does.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's why.
I'm sorry.
Because then you empower him.
Now.
If you empower him, the guy's a beast as it is.
I didn't know.
He's
going to
empower me.
Yeah, right.
His ego will be through the roof.
No, there are egos here. I don't think it's Bilotti.
Okay. Soon it'll be the Taz Show hosted by Pete Bilotti. That's all I need. So I need him coming to me. Taz, I think I need to take over the Taz Show. Moose empowered me. That's all I need.
That's not. That's
pass
not
along that check, too.
Well, a new Taz Show will be dropping that will not have Pete the Body on it.
Just make sure you download that today. Radio.com, Apple Podcast, Stitcher, along with Taz and
Spotify.
Nice.
This show is not, yes. Yeah, whatever. But
we're not
yeah
on Spotify.
I'm on different spots.
You're on different spots.
I'm on a lot of the.
Wherever you get your podcast, download the Taz Show.
And Taz and Moose, too.
Yes.
If you want.
All right. Here we go. Undercard.
All right.
Taz and the Moose present the Undercard. The stories from today's rundown that we haven't talked about on the show.
All right, Michael.
All right, the last and final wild card spot in the AFC is really up for grabs. Steelers 6-5, Raiders 6-5, Colts 6-5, Tennessee Titans 6-5, and Browns 5-6. Of those teams, which one, if they made the playoffs, do you think could actually make a run?
Oh, my God. You went about 100 miles an hour, Mike.
Jeez.
Trying to break
to
down
me,
the
it's
teams
the Browns or the Colts.
Who's going to make the playoffs? That's
no,
the
no. Which team of those teams that are in contention for a wild card spot, final wild card spot in the AFC, could make a run? I would say the Colts based on the offensive line.
Mm.
And I would say the dynamic aspect of Mayfield with Landry and Beckham. I would say the Browns.
Yeah, I'm going to lean more.
Browns or Colts?
I love your thoughts on the offensive line with the Colts. I mean, we agree on that full throttle. But I would lean more towards the Browns just because of the weapons that they do have, and it seems like they're bringing it all together. You know, Landry and Chubb and obviously Beckham, they're bringing it all together, and as long as they can keep their heads right, they could keep on, you know, kicking butt. So I'm going to lean more towards the Browns.
Okay, I can see that. I mean, it'd be fascinating. We're off the Raiders.
I know.
No Titans with Tannehill.
No.
No Hodges-led Steelers team. We're sitting right now in the sixth spot.
Yeah, I'm not a Hodges hater.
You think Hodges, you think they could do damage?
With a guy from Samford?
Well, let me, yeah.
Samford, not Stanford.
No, Samford. You think the, okay, right now, you think the Steelers could go on the road with Hodges at quarterback and beat the Texans?
I don't know. That's a tough one. I think I like their defense. I like Watt on the edge. I like their defense.
No. What do you mean?
What are you talking about? You're saying Texas. When are they playing?
If the playoffs ended
today.
Oh, the playoffs.
Why am I jumping my bets ahead?
It's a hypothetical matchup.
Right. Yeah.
I can't see that happening. It would just be 6-3. Is the Texans right now would be the 3 seed in the AFC playoffs. The Steelers would be the 6.
Right, right. Yeah, I don't know. I think the Steelers, you know, be careful. Be careful.
Right.
Something's working now. I don't know what it is. What do you think, Mike? You like the Steelers, right?
I do, because that defense is tremendous. I don't think they could beat, like, the Patriots or the Chiefs
but
I think they could steal a game.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like there's some mojo working there for Pittsburgh, and I don't think you agree with that, Moose. And I think you got to be careful with that narrative. Just letting you know.
All right, I'll stick with the Colts and the Browns as the two most dangerous teams. We'll see which one of those teams.
Well, I said the Browns. I didn't say the Steelers. I'm just bringing up a point.
Okay. No, I'm. It's all good.
It's a conversation.
I know we had a conversation.
All right, here we go. Next,
Syracuse head coach Jim Boeheim.
Encouraging for the Bears that Mitchell Trubisky had a solid second half versus the Giants, or he was just playing the Giants.
I think it's probably more the latter.
Check.
Just playing the Giants.
Yes. Check. Ding.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. I guess it could be worse. You could play poorly against a really bad defense, and then everyone in Chicago would be running around the city like their head's on fire. But he played well, played better in the second half than the first half, but the Giant defense and that secondary really struggles. All right, next.
Kawhi Leonard.
Is Luka Doncic the most exciting player to watch in the NBA?
Yes.
Luka Doncic?
20 years old. The kid's unbelievable, man.
How do you pronounce his name?
Luka Doncic.
Luka Doncic?
Oh, I thought you said Luna.
Luka.
No, Luka.
Oh, Moose, you've
messed
up a lot of names.
I've had to explain this Zach 7 times.
Mike's better with names than you. Mike's great with names.
That's not true.
No, you are.
Doncic is tremendous.
Just say Luka.
Yeah, Doncic.
He is tremendous. By the way, that Steelers-Browns game... Steelers plus one.
I was talking about Steelers, Texas.
I know, Texas. I got confused. Yes. About. I'm going to jump on the Steeler wagon a little
Pete,
bit.
Pete, fantastic. Bogus with the updates. Taz, good stuff, man.
Yeah, you too, sir.
Have yourself a wonderful Monday, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. Till tomorrow. Peace.
There's got to be a 10-second runoff here.
Are you looking for a podcast about pro football that doesn't put you to sleep with an avalanche of analytics or insult your fandom with brainless hot takes? Well, hi. I'm Dan Hanzus.
And I'm Mark Sessler.
Oh, hi, Mark. And we're the hosts of Heed the Call, the NFL podcast you've been waiting your whole life for.
Heed the Call covers every game, every storyline, everything that matters, and we do it all with a touch of mirth.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast wherever you get your podcasts.